Hi, I'm Brad Burke, President and CEO of Scotty Resources. Scotty Resources is an exploration company in Northwest British Columbia operating out of the Golden Triangle. Main asset is the past producing Scotty Gold Mine that closed down because of economics in the 80s. And we've done a large consolidation over the last 7, 8, 9 years. And we're onto a new asset. We're onto a very exciting asset that we're excited to tell the market about.
Well, yeah, some great consolidation there. And also, you've done about 60,000 meters of drilling. So you've got a lot to talk about. But I think that the thing that people want to hear about is this Franco-Nevada NSR that you've just been able, well, has it concluded yet?
You learn something new every day. It's technically not closed. You have to announce it before the exchange will even approve it. But we don't see any problems with everything. So we should close when the charity stuff works its way through, because there's an equity component part of this, that charity. So I anticipate next week.
Okay. So the numbers haven't changed as yet. There's $8.1 million bucks on the NSR, plus they're actually going to kind of pick up some stock as well. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. About $1.5 million for equity with the charity flow through unit and then 8.1 for 2% royalty. Yeah.
Right. And tell me why now. Why would you do that now? Gold is starting to rip. What does this allow you to do, and why did you make the move?
Well, that's a good question, and I've heard this. So it's not actually now. This thing took 3 months. So this was, hatched, and I was projecting it. This is one of the optionalities. The market has been extremely challenging for us, as it has been for everybody else. So, we have a very large set of shareholders, and it was either that or equity. And, we purchased those royalties back 2 years ago, and if you look back 2 years ago, I think I paid $750,000 for a percent, and we ended up selling a percent for $4 million. So I think it's good value to our shareholders. I think it's great deal for Franco as well, and the best deal I could have done for my shareholders given the time. Sure, the news happened this week, but this thing a very long time to make this happen. And we had Ross Beattie take half of my financing 6 weeks ago at 18 cents, and I couldn't close it. No one else cared. So we just have to remember, what was the alternative? To do a small little drill program. I mean, we're on an asset, it's growing, we believe we're in the right area. So it was just more or less we had to. And I think ultimately I always dreamt of putting a 2% royalty into the shell and give it to the shareholders in that form. But, given the environment, I think that's the best thing we could have done for our shareholders. And the feedback's been fine. I was wondering, especially with some of the bigger enterers, investors in the company, but no, I've gotten a lot of great feedback. And mostly on, that's a very difficult thing to do with no resource. And for Franco to normally, they don't usually come this far down the chain. And without pre-resource, it's really not a common thing for them.
Right. Let's talk about the 60,000 meters that I mentioned, right? We've seen a lot of headlines with some super high grades, or decent intervals and stuff. But it's that, painting that picture that we always talk about, painting the picture. So Franco-Nevada obviously saw something, but the diligence process, I mean, it sounds like obviously 3 months of conversations, a lot of chat in there. So what did they see in this project? What did you tell them? Why would they do it with, I say, someone so far down the food chain, as it were?
Well, I'm pretty sure whatever I told them, it didn't matter. They came to their own conclusions. I'm almost certain of that. But technically, no, I can't speak for them. It'd be a great question for them. This is how I would look at it. Obviously, the grade, the ease of access to that ore. Like, we're not, with those kind of grades, we're not a kilometer and a half underground. This is starting at surface. So it's really, really easy ore access. And then, of course, we've got Newmont, just bought my neighbor Newcrest, which bought Pretium, and the CEO had a really good interview at the Kitco, at the BMO conference. And he kind of gushed about how important BC was. A lot of that filtered down to me from people going, oh, interesting. And they're divesting some of their smaller assets and wanted to focus on tier one assets. What I would like to point out, or what makes me excited and potentially is, well, Brucejack's not a tier one asset. 360,000 ounces a year. And I believe by Newmont's own admission, they like 500,000 a year production to be a tier one asset. So I go, that's interesting. Just the nature of what we're sitting on, we're right beside them. Ascot's going to Port Dore by the end of the month. I believe it's going to happen. And you can see that somebody believes that that stock has defied logic or gravity in the last 3-4 months. I'm really happy for Derek, but it's gone from like 35 cents to, I think it's 80 cents today. So it's at my, my position ACV is about 82 cents. So I'm good with Ascot. I believe Franco has a royalty at Pretium, so they're kind of in the area. It was big picture stuff, and in the future, they believe in the project, obviously, and they can see if we're not standalone, which we're still going on about stand. We still again only 60,000 meters drilled to be where we're at. I believe that's something that people should really look at and go, that's great. I know how I'm, there's other programs in the area, 150,000 meters, 160,000. So we've done it on a shoestring budget. We've been able to attract the people that we have. So, I think British Columbia, I think jurisdiction, they do have a little bit of asset in the area. So, who knows? Michael Gray picking us up and writing about us could have been a big factor with that. That also brought a lot of credibility to the Scotty story. At the beginning of this year, three of the best things that ever happened to Scotty beyond drill results happened. And even though the market hasn't picked up, one would be Agentis picked us up. That was a very difficult thing to do. Took years, 2 site visits. Ross Beattie now owns about 5% of the company, and then Franco to come in. That's all happened in the last 3 months. And you can still, as an investor, buy this cheaper than Eric's, than all those names. And, we've got four people that own just under 10% of the company. There's 3 of us that own 5%. I'm still at a 5% weighting and a whole host of really good shareholders. So I think the opportunity's there, and we're funded. We're well-funded into, I would say for 2 years. We haven't put out a program yet. I'm probably answering all the questions you're going to ask me.
I think pretty much. It's Friday afternoon. I'll take it. Go on.
Yeah. So because I'm just getting these questions. What's the program? Well, we'll tell the program. We'll release that here in a couple of weeks. We just had certainty that this has had to close. So we've got a couple scenarios. But you can expect a lot of the same as we've done last year. We'll still add to the Blueberry. I believe we'll go underground at Scotty because we've had those permits for a couple of years. It's just a little bit more expensive. And if we were to put out a resource, we really think it'd be great for us to just do a couple confirmation holes at Scotty, because it will add, in our estimation, to our back of the envelope substantially to the Blueberry. And then, we've got a whole bunch of other targets that we just haven't drilled, but they're the same indicators as we found Blueberry, as we found the C and D vein. And so we're going to take a little bit of that money and actually go and drill a couple new targets that we've been wanting to get at for a couple of years. So we're going to get a mix of exploration, a little bit more development type hole, so we can, if and when we put that resource and, but again, with Franco, they have an idea of where we're at. They obviously modeled this and it was great. I think one of the reasons I honestly believe this, and this is one of the comments that came in from one of our meetings, is they were super impressed with the technical work. And that's I was sitting there going, that's great. I just hired while it was all on Thomas. But, they made one of the nicest compliments we ever heard, because they see everything. And they just alluded to the technical work was a pleasure to go through and really easy to understand. And the way we explored we got a lot of compliments here. So it was flattering. We'll get that program out here in a couple, 3 weeks. But I'm going to, next couple weeks, just make sure everybody knows that, we're solid. And I've got a lot of hard dollars. usually flow through is what you know, of the 13, just under $13 million. Now we have, you know, $10 million of it's hard. So we're going to figure out ways to convert that for charity or be more efficient for get more holes in the ground.
Okay. So you're right. That did answer a lot of questions.
I'm sorry.
I still got some. Okay. So the resource seems to be the focus. I guess the question was, I wanted to ask you specifically today was, you've raised $11 million effectively between the recent raise, what Franco putting in on stock and the NSR, there or thereabouts, and you had some money in the kitty anyway.
Yeah,
I know what you're saying. That is like, okay, we haven't quite worked out a program yet, but you've given us some ideas about the sorts of things that you're thinking about, and that's great. Are there things that you're not going to be doing because you've learned over the past couple of years the market doesn't care? Or do you feel that we're in a new paradigm, as it were, as gold rips up through $2,300? I mean, learnings, future. So how do you play it? How do you talk about it? How do you think about it?
That's a great, fantastic question, because for the last 2 years, you know, my raises are in that $7 million range, and I told the market I'm going to spend it all. So if I've learned one thing, is I'm not spending all that money. We have about 13 million. We raised about 3.5, and then this 9.6. And after paying all the dues and legal fees, we're about 12.5 million.
Got to pay the lawyers.
I'm waiting on everybody else's program. So for my weight class, I am committed to having more news in than the people that you would, other $50 million market cap companies. There's no way they will be up there. So we know that we can give the shareholders news. But even though it's a mistake in hindsight, and I was very, very vocal about it, you know, last year I'm going to spend every dollar. I'm going to get as many meters in. We're very excited about Blueberry, and we did that. And hindsight, the market didn't reward us. But we're very happy with the results, and perhaps I'm sure we wouldn't be having done the deal we've done with Franco if we didn't drill all that. But if I learned one thing is, oh my gosh, if I get that treasury starts going down, it's really, really difficult to raise money. And I theoretically knew that, but, you know, I really felt it here in the last 6, 7, 8 months. And, you know, we were always down, you know, we always had a couple million dollars, but, you know, I think to attract the level of investor that we're hunting for, you don't want them scared them. So that's one thing I learned. Besides that, I think everything's going to be, we're just going to do it exactly what we've been doing year after year, right?
But here's the thing, like, okay, that may be the answer. No one knows what the future holds, right? But in a gold environment like this, I guess the producers are making additional free cash of about $300 per ounce this year.
Yeah.
Great news. They got to deploy that. They got to kind of backfill their resource and reserves for sure. And there's some advanced developers are hoping that a big balance sheet will get them out of the problem of having to raise capex themselves. So, I think there'll be lots more M&A. We're seeing and talking and being involved in a bit of it at the moment. With other developers, perhaps not as advanced, they're going to have to, I think, be clearer. You're in the exploration stage, but companies like yourself and up to the early stage developers can have to be clearer about what the model is. You are surrounded by the great and the good, right? We can look at your deck and sort of see all the Dave Mawson shooters and Ask Us and Sea Bridges and et cetera. Is the game to try and make yourself look pretty and get into some sort of competitive tension type bidding, or is the goal to say, well, actually, we're going to do the resource, we're going to do certain type of drilling to be able to enhance that kind of resource story, and maybe look at how the process to put some economics on this. I'm not saying you're rushing into it, but maybe in a new environment like this, you need to come at it differently.
So we have tire kickers. People have been looking at, multiple people have looked at the company over the few years, not necessarily people who buy in the market, but people who need to call them single asset producers or what be it. And we've had, what would it take and questions, nothing really, really substantial. We just go, look, we're not selling at the bottom of the market. I didn't, you know, unless the shareholders are frustrated with me or don't believe, you know, or unhappy, but we just didn't work this hard to sell today. I don't need to be at the top of the market. I look at how I look at it personally. I could be wrong. I go, we got Ascot. We got two mills on either side of us. And let's just go a little guy. I mean, I'm not suggesting anything, but let's just say 1 million ounces is a high grade goal. Okay. What would it cost for either of those guys to go find that? Right? That's a question an investor needs to ask. And you go, okay, or is it easier? So I think until I can get a competitive tension and feel that, okay, then we'll just keep doing what we're doing, because you're right. If and when it comes time for this to move on to better hands, bigger hands, more experience at the next level, we need to have two or three people interested in it. And you know, if we just have one at a time, and I think the market will tell us, and I think that's going to come very, very soon. You know, is gold going to go, whatever, pick a number by the end of the year? I don't think 2300 was on anybody's bingo card for the first quarter of this year, and here we are, right? In spite of financial data, right? Job reports are good and all these things if we believe them, but you're just going, gold should be, in my opinion, for what we've been doing for the last 10 years, I'm going, gold should be 1700, meaning, you know, you got jobs report, you know, interest rates are going up. And so it's everybody's been kind of, you know, our theories have been wrong, but until we see that it's more interesting to one person or not, then we'll entertain that.
But, right. But coming back to the plan, though, it's like, if your plan is to talk to those people, it sounds like not yet, says Brad, all right, not yet. We got stuff to do. We got some money to do it with. You're still going to have to work. There's got to be a plan of more than, oh, we'll just keep doing what we're doing. Because if you're not getting rewarded for that, why would you put yourself through that, right? So cash preservation, that's a learning. But also in terms of presenting the information to the market, what were the kind of key learnings?
Well, nothing's ever the same. Not every project's the same. And so the generalists, the market, all the talking heads are like, okay, we need a $3 million to a $5 million asset. And I think I just get thrown in that where, you know, I don't think people look, and I think it'll change here in the very near future, is going to go, let's just look at the business side of it. Dollar in, two out. I don't need a 5 million ounce deposit to make this financially successful. It's just not, right? Even that, you know, Ascot bought the Jaden Resources for, I can't remember, $40 million. And, you know, and there's a couple hundred thousand ounces there. That was 2017 or 2018. It's been a while now. So, you know, we have the ability that I always kind of said, oh, I want to show a pathway to 1 million ounces. That's in the rearview mirror. We have other analysts saying numbers that I wouldn't say right now, but I feel very comfortable saying I can target 2 million ounces. I'm very comfortable saying that. And as we go drill some of these other targets and maybe I can expand that to numbers that are higher than that 2 million ounces. And there's nothing that says that I can't dream that big. And you know, there's just so much more drilling that needs to be done. And we have, you know, Thomas keeps coming up. As you get more data, you get smarter and theoretically understand it. So he's got some really good ideas on you know, where we might be able to really garner that imagination to people. But, you know, my understanding is both mills on either side of me don't have 10-year mine lives, right? And we're right on the road, right on surface, pretty easy ore. That's going to be worth because when the market turns, and it's as it's turning right now, but, you know, I own Newmont, Barrick, all these things. They really haven't gone anywhere quite yet. But when money becomes easy in the market to raise, then these guys, okay, I need to do something. And so we wait for the timing is right, and the market will determine when. Like I say, I'm not trying to get it, sell at the top. I'll never find the bottom. I'll never find the top. But really, if I can take my shareholders, and at the end of the day, we haven't destroyed anybody's money, we've made them some a very good money and did good work, then whether I come back in this business or not, but for Thomas, it'll be 20 years of building credibility for him. And so that's kind of where we're at. And the market will determine when the time is right. I do believe it'll be right after the election. That's you know, and that's when people think, you know, but that's my, you know, a lot of other people believe that as well. It's not like I'm, you know, some visionary, but
I'm with you on that one. I mean, but the thing is, we've got lots of experts on the macro. I've got people being trying to persuade me that actually pre-election is fantastic. They hark back to 2016. I don't know. You don't know. And there'll be lots of macro commentary on gold. But the point is, you've now got the money to be able to move things forward at whatever pace you decide. You've got money to be able to wake the market if it doesn't move or it does reset for whatever reason. So it's exciting times for you guys. But it's interesting to dig into the business plan. But it just is so important, like especially when you say things like, "Oh, perhaps with hindsight, I perhaps wouldn't have played it the same way before." Right, Ross Beaty, he's nobody's fool. And he's put a chunk of change into this thing now. But he must have come armed with some commentary, you know? He must have a thought about what you're sitting on, how to play it. Do you talk about that with him?
You know, of course, we've gone through the project and, you know, and I'm getting phone calls because Ross is speaking about it a little bit out there and about it in his travels. But if I was to be totally honest, and I am, I honestly believe Ross just likes me and was going, "Oh, you're working hard." And you know, I can't speak for Ross, but he's a gentleman and he always gives me all the time I need and always answers my call. But I mean, he had an asset that, you know, he just come into some money and he spread that around. I just happened to be one of those guys. It could have been a little bit of Michael Gray. You know, I donated some land to an environmental thing a little while ago. And, you know, we're helping Ross with other things. I'm helping manage the claims in BC for Ross and with our team and stuff. So, but honestly, I think Ross just likes me and goes, "Look, you're doing good. Stay in there. Don't give up." But he, you know, he hasn't really, really honestly gone in. Okay, you know. Dug in technically. Of course, we've had technical meetings. He's not throwing his money away. He doesn't come down. There's not many juniors he comes into. But honestly, I just think it was just he wanted to support the industry and can see the potential, right? I mean, he sees the potential. Like, there'll be an event here one day. But I don't want to rah-rah-rah that Ross is, you know, it's more relationship, I believe. And I mean,
right.
He's not going to throw his money away, but...
No,
it's more of a personal thing. You'd have to ask him.
Okay. And now you've raised a whole bunch of money. Assume you kind of do what all CAs do and start paying yourself a decent salary now, right?
I'm sorry, say it again.
I'm just looking at G&A, right? You don't pay yourself much, right? You've raised some, it's a bit tongue-in-cheek, but now you've raised some money. Obviously, we've just sort of seen a few other CEOs, explorers, you know, maybe slightly not quite get the entrepreneurial spirit and they decide to pay themselves lots of money for not doing too much work. And, you know, I'd rather my money, if I gave you money, I'd rather money went in the ground and that you were drilling or advancing the project forward. The G&A still continues to be low for you guys. Obviously, that's important to you. When you do these sorts of money raises, how do you kind of look at it in terms of the allocation of that capital? What's important for you?
Yes, thank you for recognizing that I haven't paid myself much, but this was just a project. You know, I didn't mean to be in this business, and I just tried to make it investable, so I'd put my money into it, right? I mean, now I run, you know, I have a personal portfolio that's beyond Scotty and, you know, just because of past successes, it's not a small portfolio. But, you know, no, I'm not going to pay myself anymore. And I've started paying myself. But I mean, at the end of the day, I'm in my ninth year and we kind of worked it out with the accountant. I think, you know, I've received $580,000 in 9 years. And I've put well over $1 million into the company. And that's all great and fine and dandy. But it's the actual time of my life. Forget the money, right? You know, to spend the amount of effort and time, and it's been quite an experience. You know, I've made more money on Bitcoin, and it took me 15 minutes. And I did this in 2017. that I have in the whole history of running this company. If I was to sell it, I still own all the Bitcoins, but I own Bitcoins. But yeah, I laugh at myself sometimes. So it's about pride, about showing the kids, you know, I've had great success in energy. I've had great success in real estate, and I cut my teeth in the mining business. I did all Murray Pesham's work. I staked Kamesh for Hunter Dickinson. So it's not like I didn't know the business, and I literally started, you know, being aware of the stock market because of Murray. And, but this is the hardest thing I've ever done. You know, I got to pay Thomas. I have to pay, you know, my G&A. I could run this company for nothing in 17, 18 if we weren't doing as much work. You can't do it for nothing anymore. The government, there's just so many more factors. And so we try and keep it as lean as possible. But, you know, my G&A is still $1 million a year. And man, oh man, I can't, I don't believe I could actually get it down. And I try. People know me as pretty cheap. Yeah. But no, I'm not going to give myself a raise or a bonus or anything. I've got, it's pretty public. I own about 14 million shares and, you know, when we pull this across the line, it'll be good for me and the family. But it's more of a pride and get this project across the line because there've been so many naysayers for so long.
Well, look, we like it. We like what you've got on the ground. We like the fact you've got this money. And it is a kind of needs must thing. I think there's a lot of cash strapped companies out there who couldn't or have not been able to raise capital. I think they and will continue to struggle for the near term. You've got a good asset. Stay in touch with us as you advance things on the ground. You decide where you're going to allocate that capital. As always, good to see you. I'll speak soon.
All right, Matt.